This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is the third episode in our series on depression, causes, treatment and prevention. And alhamdulillah, last time we started talking about treatments for depression. And we'll continue to do this today by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we're going to be dealing with a big one today. So I hope, inshallah, that you are sitting back, relaxed, paying attention, because this one, negative thoughts, is really a big one. It's no exaggeration, I think, to say that if we are able to control and counter our negative thoughts, those negative impulses that just creep up into our minds, if we can stop them and control them, then it's very unlikely that we would be depressed. So if you can control that, I think you would have the keys to stopping depression by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Negative thoughts. It's how to treat that. The first thing is that we have to realize the source of those negative thoughts. If you realize where they come from, you're likely to be able to counter that. So we say that negative thoughts either come from shaitan or they are amplified by the shaitan. So the source is either the shaitan whispers those negative thoughts to you and me, or that they come from the self. And Allah Azza wa Jal describes the selves in the Quran as ammaratun bisu, commands evil, so possible. But when the shaitan finds that there's a negative thought in you, coming from you, he amplifies it, whispers, pushes it forward, blows it up. So it's really hard to pinpoint where a negative thought comes from, but we can say, inshallah, with certainty that the shaitan is involved in one way or another. And if you know that, you know how to fight it by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. But before I go into that, I want to give you, inshallah, sort of something like a case study to help with that. And this is taken from the Quran, how recognizing where the source is and the purpose of that intervention is enables you to survive that assault. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, إنما النجوى من الشيطان ليحزن الذين آمنوا. Allah says, private talk, private conversations. What does that mean? It means that when two people are conversing privately and excluding a third person, so that person, third person, feels what? It's a fertile ground for the shaitan to come to that third person and say, they excluded you for a reason. They dislike you. They're talking about you. They're plotting against you. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, An-Najwa, that act is from shaitan. What does it mean that it's from shaitan? It means that the shaitan likes it, whispered it, pushes it. So somehow either he inspires that act or he agrees and approves of it and uses it so it becomes his work. Anyway, he says, this act is from shaitan. What's the purpose of it? لِيَحْزُنَ, to sadden the believers. So here Allah Azza wa Jal explicitly tells you that one of the purposes of the shaitan is to make you sad. If the shaitan wants to make you sad. So why does the shaitan want to make you sad? Because when you're sad, you can't do anything. You're out of energy. You don't have that motivation to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. You're preoccupied with your sadness. He puts you down through those tactics. So anything that is going to make you sad, the shaitan jumps on it, seizes it, and exaggerates it. So if you know, if you remember this, then you have learned and you have remembered something that is very valuable. Something that is sad, making you sad, there might be a hand on the shaitan in it. So you want to stop that sadness. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَيْسَ بِضَرِّهِمْ شَيْئًا. إلا بإذن الله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. It says, and that is not going to harm them at all except by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning that if two people, and again, see how beautiful this is when you learn it. Two people, and they're sitting, talking privately, and they're excluding you. Now, if you know this ayah, and Allah Azza wa Jal says at the end, and wa ala Allahi, and upon Allah, let the believers rely. If you know this ayah, and the shaitan starts whispering to you, they're talking about you, they're plotting against you, they're mocking you. If you know this is coming from the shaitan, what do you say? Say, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Maybe they're not even talking about me. Maybe they're not even aware of me. All this could be only in my head. A'udhu billahi. So these thoughts do go away when you call upon Allah Azza wa Jal to defeat the shaitan. And also you say, and even in the case that they may be talking about me, that is not going to harm me. And I will put my trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Ya Allah, I trust you. Protect me from this. Don't let it make me sad. Don't let it distract me. And you can just walk away. Bi-idhnillah, with the help of Allah, unharmed. But that is the advantage of what? Knowing how a thought develops and where it comes from and how to defeat it. So this is a case study. And I want you to remember it, inshallah, once a evil thought maybe come, or evil or negative thought comes into your or my mind. Where does it come from? We know that the shaitan is involved. Then how do you protect yourself from it? You immediately say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. A'udhu billahi. Ya Allah, protect me. That's what that phrase means. Ya Allah, protect me from the shaitan. If you want, say it in Arabic and then say it in your own language so that you understand what you're saying. Ya Allah, protect me from the shaitan. And if once is not enough, keep saying it. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan. And the more that you say it, the weaker the shaitan is. And you'll be able to deal with that thought, inshaAllah, easily. Because you brought Allah in. And if you think that a shaitan is trying to harm you, and you ask Allah for help, that Allah will not help you, you just have to mean it and keep saying it. So the first thing is, seek Allah's protection from that negative thought that had come into your heart and mind. You're responsible. It's your fault. You are dumb. You are a failure. Whatever these things are, say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim immediately. And then keep saying that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, don't believe these whispers. And this is huge, by the way. That's another big step. When you hear these things, don't believe them. You're responsible. You're at fault. We'll have examples, inshallah, of negative thoughts. Whatever you do is going to be a failure. People don't like you. These things, when they come into, don't believe them, because you know where they come from. And who is the agent responsible in promoting these ideas? Someone, the shaitan, who's not interested in your happiness. So, of course, he'll do everything to undermine you. So that's a lie. So you don't believe it. Dismiss it. Stay away from it. And separate these thoughts from yourself. Separate these thoughts from yourself. These thoughts are not you. Some people, unfortunately, they think that if I thought something, that that's me. No. Your thoughts are not you. These thoughts are from the shaitan or amplified, as we said, by the shaitan. So you separate and say, I'm not these thoughts. I'm not these negative assessments, these negative inclinations. I'm not that thing. Just that something that popped into my head and the shaitan is behind it, A'udhu billah, take it away. This is how you save yourself from it. Also counter negative thoughts, counter them with positive statements from the Quran and from the Sunnah, from the Hadith, and from the sayings of the righteous ancestors, early Muslims. Positive statements like what? You're afraid of that, you know, you're gonna not have enough money. Your children are gonna go hungry. You remember, Inna Allaha huwa ar-razzaq. Allah Azza wa Jal is the provider and sustainer. It's not you. Allah provides. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no living being on this earth except that Allah had guaranteed its risk. So you understand that you cannot guarantee your own risk. Allah guaranteed it for you, and He did the same for your loved ones. You counter these negative thoughts with positive thoughts and statements from the Quran, from the Hadith, from the Sunnah. Oh, those people, they're looking down on me, and you feel bad because of it. They're mocking the way that I speak, the way that I look, the way that I walk. You say, it doesn't matter what people think of me. What matters is how Allah sees me. That's what really matters. And if I'm great in Allah's eyes, it doesn't matter what people think of me. And I could be great in people's eyes, but small in Allah's, great in people's eyes, but small in Allah's eyes, and that does not benefit me. So the more that you are grounded in the Quran and Sunnah, and you remember that, you can counter these negative impulses and thoughts with something positive from the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the early Muslims. And adopt also the general narratives of the Quran. Narrative meaning like, what is the meaning of life? Narrative is like a general caption, right, to our entire existence. What does the Quran say about it? So if you remember that the Quran says life is short and fleeting and insignificant, when you really believe that, it will reinforce the belief that this doesn't matter as much. If you lose something that you think is valuable in life, but then you counter it with Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying eventually that all of this is going to go away. All this earth is going to go away. Everything on it is going to go away. So what I think is this significant loss is really in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, nothing. Really in terms of staying forever in Jannah, nothing. So when you adopt this general narrative of the Quran, like as I said, life is short. Let me see what I wrote here. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the provider. What is important is how Allah sees you and what Allah sees in you, not your body, not your weight, not your accent, not whether you're eloquent or not. These things don't matter, but what is in your heart and your righteousness, that's what matters. If you adopt that narrative, then you can really counter the whispers of the shaitan, who will constantly, by the way, try to put you down. And if you don't know how, what are positive statements that I can use for my own situation? What are positive Quranic narratives that I can use for my situation? You don't know what, ask. Ask an expert, ask a sheikh, ask an imam who will be able to help you. Or when you have this thought, use this with it. When you have, you know, these ideas, use something else with it from the Quran to help you counter that. This is how you will be able to sustain, you know, your iman and defend it from the shaitan. Also, it's important not to be alone with your negative thoughts. You know, in general, right, if you are not okay with being alone, you shouldn't be alone. There are those who are not depressed, who can be alone, and they can do a lot of wonderful things when they are alone. There are those among us who don't do that and cannot do that. So if you cannot be alone with your negative thoughts, then, and this might seem simple enough, but it's really not simple because it takes planning. So if I'm not okay with being alone with my negative thoughts, then I shouldn't be alone. Schedule events, anticipate in advance. I'm going to have this free time. This free time, usually I sit by myself in front of the TV, in front of the computer, and I daydream and all these thoughts come into my head. And that's how I regress. That's how I become sad. Anticipate. Then schedule an event where you're not alone. Somebody is around you. You're talking to somebody else. You're doing something. Schedule events. Schedule activities. But be proactive in the sense where you are not leaving yourself vulnerable to the shaitan. You're just alone at home and there's nothing to do. And I know COVID and what have you, but still, if you can, just you go out. You go out and you do something positive outside if nothing positive is possible inside the house. But don't be alone with your thoughts. And break the cycle of ruminations where you dwell upon the past and the present. So negative thoughts, incidents, regrets, fears, and so on. Rumination, where you sit and you repeat and you think and you keep thinking, if I could have done that, my life would be different. It was my mistake that I listened to this, but not that. I should have taken this step, but not that. I'm afraid of this and or that. And you keep thinking about it, and it keeps depressing you and stressing you. And you become more anxious because of it. You need to stop that cycle. And you stop it by saying to yourself, this is not beneficial. How is this helping anyone? It's just making you more depressed, sadder, and more anxious. Stop it then. Stop. So what's the alternative? Find another activity. What is the alternative? Is for you to say, these things, if they've happened in the past, happened because Allah wanted them to be that way and no other way, and nothing that I could have done. And if you could only remember this, please remember it. Nothing that you could have done at all could have changed the past. You could say, if I've taken this step instead of that step, no. It was still would happen the same way that Allah wanted it. If I only did not listen to so-and-so and did this, no. It still would happen exactly the way that Allah wanted it. That's it. The past is settled. How would you go? What's the benefit of trying to visit something that will never change? It's done. And also blaming yourself for it and say it's all my fault. It's all my fault. How is this helping? Learn from it. If you did something wrong, repent from it. Ask Allah for forgiveness, but move forward. Learn, but move forward. But to sit and blame yourself, it doesn't help you, or it doesn't help anybody else. What helps you really is to say, Ya Allah, if I did something wrong, forgive me. If I did something wrong, forgive me. If it was a misstep, pardon me. But allow me to go forward. Learn from it, but move forward. Accumulate good deeds so that you be closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's how positive we, inshallah, should be. And if you find yourself, right, revisiting past incidents, and you continue to do this, or bad thoughts continue to pop into your head and you cannot deal with them, like you really cannot deal with them, you tried and you really cannot deal with them, then try to talk to someone, trusted, wise person. Could be a family member if you trust them, or an expert, a specialist in the field. It could be a sheikh, it could be an imam who is trusted, who knows what they're talking about, or a counselor or a therapist, especially if they are Muslim. But I would also urge you to make dua. And one of the themes of today's talk is dua. As if you have these negative thoughts and they keep coming to your head, and you keep saying, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, and trying to understand where it comes from, and, you know, replying with, as we said, with what the Quran said, what the Prophet said, positive statements from there, general narratives of the Quran, and all of these things. You're trying to do that, and you're trying not to be alone, but they keep invading your mind and heart, and you can't stop them. You say, Ya Allah, help me with this. Ya Allah, help me with this. This is making me sad and weak. Ya Allah, help me with this. Ya Allah, lead me to someone who can help me with that. Lead me to a lecture, to a book that I can read that could help me with this. Just keep asking Allah Azza wa Jal with help, and you do not know how, subhanAllah, how Allah will help you. How you have thought before that this thing is killing me, I can't really escape it, that thought. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, because you keep asking, will show you how to deal with it, how to dismantle it, how to break it apart so the shaitan cannot use it against you. It's possible. Just keep asking Allah Azza Jal for it, and Allah Azza Jal will help you. Now, I'll give you, inshallah, examples of negative thoughts, and they are not exhaustive, but examples of negative thoughts that come into our mind. And these are patterns. Some of them are patterns. So, labeling, I'm a failure, I'm stupid, I'm dumb. You've done some things, they did not work, and as a result, you decide, or maybe other things in your life have convinced you, to say these things and to believe things, these things. I'm a failure. It's not like I failed at something, which is fine. Failing at something doesn't make you a failure. It's just you failed at something, that's fine. And there are so many successful people, by the way. You can just go and subhanAllah, you can read biographies and you'll find that how some of the many successful people that you find today, richest people that you'll find today, when they started, they failed and failed and failed until they almost give up. And then success came. So you can fail, that's fine, but you're not the failure. Don't adopt it. And you're not dumb and you're not stupid. Allah did not create you dumb and stupid. There are certain things that you and I can do and certain things that you and I cannot do. It doesn't make you dumb or stupid. It just makes you what? A specialist in one thing, but not another. And all of us are like that. So labeling, that's an example. Fortune telling. What does that mean is that everything I do will end up in failure. I'll never be successful. This is going to be a disaster. You're predicting that everything will be terrible. That's fortune telling. My life will not get any better. Nothing better will come again after this. So you're predicting what? Disaster in the future. And the answer to this is, how do you know? How do you know that life is not going to get any better? This is a whisper from the shaitan again. If you ask Allah for help, will He not help? Right? After rainy days, doesn't the sun come up? So why are you so gloomy believing that it will always be bad? So that's fortune telling. And that's, you have to catch yourself when you're doing this. Oh, it's, I'm always going to be sick. I'm always going to be poor. I'm always going to be miserable. Right? Everything I'll do will end up in failure. He says, how do you know this? The fact that it may have failed sometimes is not a predictor of the future. This is all untrue. You stop yourself and you say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, from that type of thinking and prediction. And I know that Allah Azza wa Jal, as long as I'm with Him, there is always hope. If you start pushing, you know, and encountering and remembering and reading the Quran, it will help you, inshallah, dismantle that idea. Personalizing, which is what? It's all my fault. Something happened, whatever happens around you. Even though it's not your fault, you adopt it as your fault. It's me that's the failure. And it's me who's responsible for this, whereas it is not. So don't accept it. Don't accept that failure as yours when it's not yours, right? All or nothing thinking. Like either I have this or I have nothing. So either I succeed as I've planned or I have failed. But I don't see that. There are other types of success. I can succeed this way or that way, but I choose what? Either I succeed this way or I have failed. Either I get this thing or I have nothing at all. Either I go to this college, either I marry this person, either I get this job or nothing at all. I don't see that there are other options. So you have to open yourself to the possibility that, yeah, there are different colleges. You could end up marrying any number of people you don't know. You could take different types of jobs. Success is not defined simply by the way that you decide to define it. In this instance, maybe Allah Azza wa Jal sees success for you in a different way. So open yourself to the possibility that it's not all or nothing. Okay. And related to that is discounting the positive. You don't see the positive in whatever Allah Azza wa Jal had given to you. Maybe you're a perfectionist, right? That's an issue as well. So something good happens, but you say it's not as good as it could have been. It's good, but it's not as good as it should have been. Or this is not good because I could have done better. No, if Allah Azza wa Jal gives you something, and maybe it's not up to your initial expectations, still you have to see that Allah gave it to you, right? And there must be something positive in it. You just need what to look deeper and longer and so that you'll find it. But don't discount and dismiss that the positive that is already there, and rather thank Allah Azza Jal for it. Maybe it's not everything that I wanted, maybe it's not exactly how I wanted it to look, but at least it is something. And when it is something, then appreciate what you have. And when you do appreciate it, subhanAllah, you'll be happier because of it. But if you're always, right, pessimistic about it, the glass is half empty all the time, then you're going to make yourself miserable, even though Allah had given you stuff. So stop that. It's not all or nothing. It doesn't always have to be exactly the way that you've imagined and exactly the way that you have planned it. Allow for some flexibility in life and know that Allah will give you things that are better for you than what you've planned and hoped. So keep that as a possibility. Say, yes, this thing maybe actually is better than what I wanted. Wallahu a'lam, right? Catastrophic thinking, meaning that what this is so terrible, what is happening now is so terrible, so unimaginable. How terrible that these things are happening to me. So you just see this as the worst, right? Whereas if you just step back a little bit, you may notice that it's not as bad as you think and will not last as long as you think. So if you just take it easy, and if it's difficult, you say, yeah, Allah, help me with this. And again, the theme of dua today. So yeah, Allah, help me with this. Yeah, Allah, this is just so difficult to carry. Carry this with me. Take it away. If you just say that, give me patience with this. You don't have to suffer alone. You don't have to carry any burden alone. You just say, yeah, Allah, help me with this. And it may not seem as bad as you thought. And it may be if you sit and you think about it, right? If you really sit and think about it, you'll find that, subhanAllah, yes, it's a terrible thing. Let's say that it's a terrible thing, but it could have been worse, and it's not, alhamdulillah. You could have been really suffering, but you're not, alhamdulillah. And you notice people around you who are afflicted with far more, but not you, alhamdulillah. So yeah, it's not pleasant, but at the same time, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, that it's not worse, and I have people around, or I can talk to so-and-so, or I have money to be able to help, or I can go to a doctor, or right? So you look at the other side and it's not as terrible, right? Mind reading. This is like when something happens and you predict that this is what people are thinking, and usually it's negative about you. So people are staying away from me because I'm unlovable. They don't want to be my friends because I'm unlovable. Right? Or I don't get invited to functions because I'm boring. You're mind reading. You're predicting what they think about you. And there could be other reasons why you did not get invited. Right? And it's not that people don't find you interesting, but, you know, there are other reasons. And even if one or two people find you boring, and then so what? Other people find you delightful. And you yourself, right, do you find everybody around you delightful, or some people are boring as well? So if you find somebody boring, should they be depressed because of what you think about them? It's just, you know, souls sometimes do not meet. So don't predict what people are thinking and don't assume the worst, because subhanAllah, if you allow that, the shaitan will make, you know, subhanAllah, yani something out of it. Oh, they don't like me. And you start to interpret every gesture, past, present, future, as they hate me and they're saying things about me. And you'll begin to feel, you know, terrible because of things that we allow to fester in our mind. But if you say, I don't know what is in their mind, why should I assume? And even if I end up discovering that they don't really like me, alhamdulillah, I ask Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, to change their mind, or to give me better people who will really like me. Not everybody around you is supposed to like you, and they're not going to, right? It's enough to have important people around you like you. That's enough. That's enough. Family members, good friends, relatives, those are the people that you should be interested in loving you back. that everybody around you should love you, that's unrealistic. Not everybody will like you. And the more that you believe that you are ready and you believe that, the easier it is to deal with people. Not everybody will like you, and you don't like anybody anyway. So why should everybody behave differently, right? And self-blame, if I had acted differently, this would never have happened. We talked about this. Consistently blaming yourself for past events. Like it's always your fault. And you're always to blame. Things that happened in the past happened and they're gone. Learn from them, don't dwell on them. Allah Azza wa Jal does not want you to do this. Once you repent from a sin, once you repent from it, and you don't want to go back to it, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you don't let it define you. You don't let that mistake define you. That mistake is in the past. You learn from it and you grow bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal. Right? Negative assumptions that also it's important to deal with. I just have a few here. I have been mistreated because I deserve it and there's something wrong with me. So say when something bad happens to you, somebody mistreats you, family or otherwise, you internalize that by saying, I deserve it. And no one deserves to be mistreated. You gotta erase that thought immediately. You don't deserve to be mistreated. So you're not, you know, subhanAllah, so when a person believes that, they will take that mistreatment and they will add to it what? That I deserve it, which makes it even worse. So no one deserves to be mistreated. You know, if it's haram, it's haram, right? It's done. So, and you'd have to really work on the fact of having self-confidence or self-appreciation, right? Self-appreciation where, for instance, one of the negative assumptions, I need people's approval to be worthwhile. I need to be praised to be worthwhile. I need to be successful to be worthwhile, to be loved. If people know me, they will hate me. If I'm not successful, they'll hate me. And here you have to understand that your worth is not connected to what? To people's praise, an assessment, or to money, or to success, or that if you make a mistake, somehow you're going to fall from grace. It's not that. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored the children of Adam. So if you ever think I'm worthless, counter it with that thought or with that statement. Allah had honored the children of Adam. If you are a child of Adam, how could you be worthless and Allah has honored you? So that thought needs to be erased. No one is worthless. Now, where does my worth come from? People, that fluctuates. People like you and hate you. So you cannot attach your worth to that. Success, Allah does not look at it that way. Money, Allah doesn't look at it that way. Where does it come from? Your taqwa, your righteousness, how close you are to Allah. Do you do right things? Are you kind? Are you generous? Do you help other people? Do you do bad things? That is where your worth comes from. So it shouldn't never be tied in how you look at yourself. Only if I'm successful, I'm worth something. Only if people like me, then I'm worth something. Only if they praise me, do I get... No. It's how Allah sees you and how you are with Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why we say Iman is needed, really. Like Islam and Iman is needed to be able to deal with all of these things effectively. Inshallah. Now we finished talking about negative thoughts, and as I said, this was an important one. And you can always go back to it because this is recorded. So, I mean, if you want to go back to it, it's on YouTube, it's on Facebook, and it's on Instagram, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. The other thing that we want to seek treatment for is emptiness and lack of meaning. And this is something that creeps up on you. And this is another big one, by the way. It creeps up on you. It slowly, right, invades your life. You don't notice exactly. When did it happen? When did this start? But you could find yourself, you know, surrounded with lack of meaning. And you don't know where this started, and it can cause depression. And when it causes depression, it would seem that depression is without cause. But there is a cause. There is something, but it just took a while for it to build up. So this happens when life seems without a goal, a goalless life, a goalless existence. And it is worsened, and two things make it worse, routine and comparisons. So routine, you wake up, you eat your breakfast, go to work, or if you're at home, do housework, come back, eat dinner, sleep, repeat, repeat, repeat. And after some time, when there is no meaning in your job, when you're in your the work that you're doing, you can't find meaning in it, or you lost meaning in it. After some time, you look at this and you say, what is this all for? I'm just eating, waking up, going to work, coming back, sleeping, and so on and so on and so on. What is this all for? What am I living for? So you start losing meaning. Or if you have free time and there's nothing to do with that, to do with it, you start losing meaning in life. What am I living for? To play games, to go out with friends, come back, sleep, wake up. What is this for? Like, I'm not pursuing something. I'm not doing anything. There's no value in my existence. Where's meaning? So that could make you depressed with time. And I said another thing worsens it is comparisons. And that's deadly. You look at other people and you say, look at them compared to me. I have nothing to look forward to. But they, so-and-so is traveling, going to those exotic locations, posting it on social media. So-and-so has kids and they're going to raise their kids and they're going to attend their weddings and they're going to educate them. And so they have something to look forward to. So-and-so has a job, has a career, is waiting to be promoted. He has this incredible position. There's something in their life. Look at me, poor me. I have none of these things. Why am I living? What's the purpose of my life? And what we have to understand is all these things that I've mentioned as points of comparisons are really not real goals in life. These are like temporary goals, but not permanent. Because all of those people, all the things that we talked about, all of those people will eventually have to come to terms with the same thing that you're asking yourself once these goals disappear. So if I'm traveling, there's going to come a time when I cannot travel anymore. I don't have the money, or I'm too old. Or if I'm, you know, on a path, I'm on a career, on a path, I'm going to get promoted. If I get fired and I cannot find a job, I still am going to ask myself, why am I living now? Now that I don't have that job, I don't have that promotion and that career, why am I living? I have no purpose. If I had kids and I was just busy with raising them and educating them and getting them married. So if God forbid, they die and my life is empty now, I ask myself, why am I living? Or they get married and they leave and I find myself alone. Again, I ask myself, why am I living? What's the purpose of my life? So all of these things that we talked about are temporary goals, but then eventually every single person will have to ask himself and herself, why am I living? What's the purpose of it? And the answer is given in our Islam, in our Iman. You are marching towards Jannah. This is where you're heading. That's what you want for yourself and all your loved ones. Jannah. That's your goal. And that's really what Iman supplies. Everything else is a distraction. But the ultimate real goal is that you want to be in Jannah. And so if that's it, then your existence every day is to do something to be able to win that prize, including all the other goals that we talked about. So getting married, having kids, having a job, all of this should somehow melt into that greater goal of that I want to win Jannah. But to a lot of us, they just behave as distractions. But once they're gone and they have to go because they're not permanent, you come back to the same main question. And that question is, what is the purpose of my life? And the purpose of my life is Jannah. So that's what you want to start thinking about if you think that your life is empty. Why is it empty? Fill it with things, productive things that will bring you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So there's a beautiful statement where someone says, if someone is competing with you in this world, for the sake of this world, compete with them in the Akhirah, for the hereafter. That is, if someone, and they're not really competing with you, but if it they happen that they are competing with you, so they're like collecting a lot of money, collecting a lot of cars, building big homes and what have you. And that is making you sad. That comparison is making you sad. Rather than compete in things that will perish and vanish, compete in things that will last. Say, okay, you're building a house here. I don't want a bigger house. I'll make my house bigger in Jannah. So you donate money, you read Quran, you do a lot of dhikr, you be kind to people, you help, you be generous. So you build a bigger house in Jannah. If somebody, right, is being promoted, is rising in the dunya, and that is somehow is making you feel inferior because next to them, yeah, you don't have what they have. They say, I want to be promoted in the Akhirah. I want to rise in the levels in Jannah. How? So that becomes a goal, and that is actually a real goal. But it takes Iman for it to be a solid goal. Every day that Allah Azza wa Jal gives you is a purpose or is a goal for you, is an ammunition, let's call it, ammunition that you can use to achieve that goal. So the Akhirah is your goal. So if you ask me, what is my goal? Why am I living? I reply and say, why is it that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you an extra day? In Allah's infinite wisdom, you wake up bored, I know. You wake up without a purpose. You wake up tired. But then I ask you, why? In Allah's infinite wisdom, He gave you an extra day to do what with it? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is wise and merciful. What did He want you to do with it? So that you can take that day and make it one step closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why He gave it to you. That's what you want to do with it. He didn't give it to you to simply eat or to earn more money. These things we do to survive. But you survive to do what? So Allah gave it to you to do something useful in it. So plant in each day useful activities, religious and worldly activities. That is, don't sit idle without nothing. Plan ahead. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, you know, he said, famously, says, I hate to see a person who's able-bodied sitting idle, doing nothing related to the dunya or the akhirah, meaning sitting, doing nothing. Why? Either you busy yourself with worldly activities or religious activities. So you plan that. And it's important to raise your kids like that, with responsibility, religious responsibilities. This is the time for you to pray, time for you to read the Quran, the time for you to donate, the time for you to volunteer at the masjid, the time for you to attend the halaqah, the religious activities. And if not that, worldly activities. Not video games, but physical activities, social activities. So they learn always that they should fill their times. Hobbies. Yeah, you don't have nothing, you don't develop a hobby. Start reading a book. Start a project, whatever it is. But don't sit empty, because that is destructive. Don't sit empty. And ask Allah Azza wa Jalla. You say, okay, I don't have goals. Difficult for me to find goals. You say, what? If you need something, what do you do? Immediately, if you need something, the answer is what? What do? You ask Allah. Ya Allah, I don't have a goal. I can't think of one. It's difficult to me to come up with one. Ya Allah, give me one. Give me the best of goals, Ya Rabb al-Alamin. Just give me a goal. Give me something to do to be able to change my life, to fill it with something that is useful. Grant me that, Ya Allah. And keep asking, and you'll find that Allah Azza wa Jal will give you something. Something will come to you, one way or another, but it will come to you. Do this. Okay? Or your heart will open towards doing something that before it wasn't open to, but now it's open to. Whether it's Quran, whether it's, you know, starting something useful, Allahu A'lam, but ask Allah Azza wa Jal for it. So let me see, because then we'll not be able to do prevention and maintenance today. So we will do, inshallah, prevention and maintenance next week. So we'll do prevention, maintenance, and Q&A next week, inshallah. Okay? So but let me finish the treatment part. I want to finish it today, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Healthy diet, sunshine, and exercise. We talked about the causes. And so these are remedies. Healthy diet. Now, these are contributing factors. So if you do these things, they will decrease the chances of you being depressed. So why not try? So by saying eating healthy, I don't mean that, and some people will say, oh my God, I can't eat my comfort food now. I say, it doesn't mean that. We see, just reduce the amount of unhealthy food. You can decrease it or you can restrict it. So that maybe, for instance, on weekdays, you're eating healthy. You come to the weekend, you treat yourself and you eat the things that you like. But you decrease the amount of unhealthy food so that you would feel better. And hopefully, if you feel better, you'll continue to eat healthy. And it's sometimes easier to do this when you start small because you want continuity. It's not just be so enthusiastic about something. You start too strong and you fail. Start in a way that could be continuous and sustainable. Remove few things and try it. Decrease the amount of sugar. Don't take it, remove it immediately or completely. Decrease it slowly until, you know, maybe you will not need sugar in your food. But slowly. And if you do it, right, with somebody else, that's even easier. So we talked about healthy diet, eating healthy. It takes small steps, but consistent, continuous steps, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Same thing with exercise. You don't have to go big. Just plant a little bit of exercise, a little bit of extra movement. And if you have a companion, that's even better. But something that is continuous, that you can do once a week, twice a week, every day for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. You don't need to go out and buy equipment and what have you. Something that you can do at home. You can just go outside if the weather permits and you can just walk. But that also connects you to nature, right? Exposes you to the sun. All that is important, right? So try that. That, inshallah, you will find that to be helpful. And it's just simply just to go, sometimes just to go outside and see people. It's really refreshing so that you're not cooped up with your own thoughts, right? With your own problems in one place. Go outside. Social connections. We talked about loneliness being a modern disease. So we need people to thrive. We need people to complain to and talk to and interact with. And we need less of social media. So get off social media and interact with real people. Right, those social media interactions are not real, and you don't need so much of it. So get off of it and talk to real people. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Stay close to them. And if you say I don't have that, or it's difficult, then the answer is what? Ask Allah for it. And I know a lot of people complain, I don't have friends. And it's not just friends, you know, you want righteous friends. So what do? Say, ask Allah for it. Ya Allah, I don't have friends. And I need righteous friends. Give me those, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Give me those. Give me those around me who will support me. You have family, but there's tension. See, then what do? Ya Allah, fix my family for me. Fix my friends for me. Make them righteous. Make their proximity to me a healing proximity, right? Not a disturbing one. So ask Allah for it, but stay close to people. Stay close to people. And we can also focus on religious activities. This one we're going to be talking about prevention. We'll talk about it. Prevention and maintenance. Religious activities that keep you close to people. See how salah brings you to the masjid. See how fasting connects you to every other Muslim on the face of this earth. Hajj brings you to next to other Muslims. So religious activities like attending halaqas, like having book clubs, like being part of volunteer work. We'll be talking about that, inshallah, next week. But having activities that connect you to people, and these activities themselves are righteous and pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, or at least they're not displeasing. Halal. So connect yourself with people. And as I said, if you need that, you don't have it and you need it, ask Allah for it. And some will say, well, my problem really is with my family. My family, actually, or a member of my family is the one, or a friend, are the ones who are making me depressed with their comments and this and that. To that we say, right, depending on who they are, you can limit contact with them to preserve your heart and mind. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal, ask Allah to change them. But you can limit contact. I'm not saying boycott 100%, but limit contact, so that you feel better, and so that you, as I said, you can preserve your sanity and preserve, inshallah, your iman if they are a cause of harm. But ask Allah to change them. The last two points, inshallah, that I want to mention in terms of treatment. Talk to someone that you trust. Here, I'm recommending that you don't keep it to yourself. You don't suffer in silence. You don't keep it all bottled up until, you know, you explode on the inside. You just fall apart. If something is bothering you, if there's a problem, there's something you cannot resolve, talk to someone, and I say someone who can be trusted. You know, that could be a family member that you trust. Trust in terms of what? Trust that they will keep your secret, and trust in terms of wisdom and knowledge. They're not foolish. Or if you don't have that person, seek a professional. You can talk to an imam that you trust, a sheikh that you trust, or a therapist that you trust, okay, especially if they are Muslim, emphasize that, so that they can tell you what to do, so that you can share with them what you're going through, and at least that sharing in itself is a release. That sharing itself is a therapy. And then they can come back and tell you, try this, try that. It's not so bad. I also went through this. That will make you feel better. And how many times, just remember, how many times you were feeling so bad, you talked to somebody and simply they told you, it's going to be better, inshallah. I went through the same thing. So-and-so went through the same thing. It's not as bad as you think, inshallah. You know, healing will come and you felt better because of it. So talking to people is really important. So I would now recommend that. And also enroll in religious activities to keep yourself connected to Allah Azza wa Jal, and also active and connected to people. So achieves three things. And I'll give you examples of some religious activities that I would recommend. But it does three things. One, it keeps you close to Allah. Second, keeps you active doing something, right? And the third thing, inshallah, it will teach you. It will teach you something. So, you know, as I said, attending lectures every week, you're anchored. Every week I'm listening to this. Every week I'm meeting people. Every week I'm learning something. It helps like that, right? Reading books, especially in a book club with other people. So you're learning and you're meeting people, right? Volunteering, Islamic volunteering, I mean. And whether it's in a masjid, in a charity, in what have you. But keep yourself engaged in religious activities, especially ones that is recurrent. And read books and listen to lectures. Because the more that you read and the more that you listen to lectures, the more that you will hear things that will help you and benefit you. And sometimes, subhanAllah, without you expecting it, you're looking for an answer and you just listen to a lecture and then Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the answer. Sometimes you are looking for an answer, you read the Quran and it's right there. You've never seen it before, but it's right there. Right there. Right. Sometimes it's right there in the hadith. And it came to you. Why? Because you were seeking something. Right? And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, those who are strive towards us, we will guide them to our ways. That is, if you strive towards Allah, you move towards Allah, Allah will find a way to guide you. The way that it comes will surprise you, but it will come to you. So read, inshallah. And we'll talk more about reading, inshallah, next week. The last thing that I'll mention in terms of ruqya, in terms of treatment, is ruqya. And I put it at the end, though I could put it way at the front, is that I did not want you to think that if I said ruqya, is that you are, if you're depressed or you're anxious, that you are possessed or this is envy or magic. No. In a future lecture, inshallah, separate from this series, I'll talk about the intersection between mental health issues, depression, anxiety, and what have you, and then the issue of envy, magic, and the shaitan and possession. I'll talk about that later, inshallah. But for us here, why did I say ruqya? Because to treat physical illness, we use ruqya. And whether that physical illness has come because of envy or simply it is biological, ruqya helps. What do you mean by ruqya? Ruqya means to use the Quran, to use the adhkar, the authentic sunnah, to read it on yourself to bring divine healing. That's what ruqya is. You don't necessarily need to go to a raqi in the masjid or a sheikh to do that for you. You can do it for yourself. So as we do it for physical illness, also we should do it for psychological, emotional, you know, disturbances and harm. So I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I'm sad. Why not read Al-Fatiha? Right? Why? Am I envied? Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe you're just simply depressed. Read Al-Fatiha, blow it on your hand, wipe it over your body. Read Al-Mu'awwidhat, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, blow it on your hand, blow it on your hand, then wipe it over the rest of your body. There is some adhkar from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أذهب الباس رب الناس واشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. Take away the harm, رب الناس, O Lord of humanity. وَشْفِي أَنْتَ الشَّافِي, and cure, you are a shafi, you're the one who cures. لَا شِفَاءَ إِلَّا شِفَاءُكَ, there is no cure except the cure that you bring. So when you say this, that cure is a cure of what illness? All types of illness, internal and external, biological and psychological. So yeah, ruqya, and this helps with you, or with, if somebody else also is suffering, you can do ruqya on them. Without them asking, you go and you do ruqya. Blow it on them. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jal, through this, something will change. Right? Something will change. So this is, inshallah, the conclusion of what I wanted to say about treatment. But the series is not done. So I still owe you, we still haven't finished, right? I still owe you talking about prevention and maintenance. And then, inshallah, we'll deal with questions and answers, inshallah, next week. And that will be the final session, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. So if you have questions, post them, inshallah. And I said that you can send an email, healingandspirituality@gmail.com. You can post it as a comment on YouTube or Facebook, right? So do that inshallah, and we'll collect all of these questions. We'll answer them next week. In addition, inshallah, to talking first about prevention and maintenance when it comes to depression. So I hope, inshallah, that this session was not long. Again, if you ever need to go back to it, it is recorded. It's available. I ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to heal us all of all what ails us, of everything that we are suffering from, us and our loved ones, internally and externally. We ask Rabbil Alameen to remove any sadness and worry and anxiety that we have. We ask Rabbil Alameen to replace it all with comfort and trust in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him, Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, to remove our negative thoughts, to protect us from the whispers of the shaitan. We ask Him, Rabbil Alameen, to give us full lives that are filled with what pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him, Rabbil Alameen, to make the Quran a healing for us, to make dua something that is very close to us, so that whenever we need something, we run to Allah Azza wa Jalla and ask Him. We ask Him, Rabbil Alameen, to make the hereafter our major concern, not to make the dunya our major concern, and make us of those who work for the akhirah as well as for the dunya, and make us of those who compete for the akhirah more than when we compete for the dunya. We ask us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to make us of those who are blessed in this dunya and in the akhirah, protected in this dunya and in the akhirah. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to put us and our parents, our children, our loved ones in Jannah, Ameen, united, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Heal us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And guide us to what pleases you, and protect us from what displeases you. Barakallahu feekum. Insha'Allah, we'll see you next week at the same time, at the same day. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.